good morning once again, and again, Happy New Year to you all. And we, I appreciate that this morning you chose to be here to ring in the new year, not just the new year, but really every day. This is the way that we should ring in any new season, any new time, to sing praises to the Lord and to honor his name, to bring glory to him through our praises and through our actions. And so this morning, we're going to start a new sermon series in the book of Joshua. Now, it's funny, I didn't plan it. Kevin may have planned it, but I didn't plan it. But as we sat there and sang Faith in God, I just couldn't help but note kind of the irony of the fact that if you would summarize the book of Joshua, faith in God is a pretty good way to go. A perfect introduction to the book that we're going to look at, because in order for Joshua to do everything that was needed that we see in this story, it required a tremendous amount of faith in God, and we get a great example of that in Joshua. So it's funny how that works sometimes in church and in services. But like I said, we'll be in Joshua, and you know, this is one of those books that in the time of remakes and movies and Netflix shows and all of that, if somebody wanted to make a really interesting Bible one, the book of Joshua would be a good way to go, because there's a lot that happens within the book of Joshua, a lot that takes place, a lot to note and a lot to learn. And so we're going to take a kind of 10,000-foot view of the book of Joshua, because if we really dug into it, we could probably spend 2023, 2024, maybe even 2025 in the book of Joshua, but we're not going to be that crazy. I'm not going to be that crazy, but we'll look at some of the high points of that together. And, you know, as I was studying this week and as we were preparing some of this, at first it was just, we're starting a new sermon series, a new book of the Bible to look through. But as I was going through this week, it really turns out that the beginning of Joshua is actually a fantastic way to look at a new year, new beginnings, all of that, as the transition from Moses to Joshua takes place. Because in that time, Israel was going through a tremendous time of transition, of new beginnings. And so at the time when a new year is about, when the time for a church of new beginnings is about, it actually is interesting that it falls in this way. And so just before we get in, just a few points about the book of Joshua so that we kind of know what we're getting ourselves into. And as I mentioned, during the time of Moses and the Exodus, during his time of leadership, Joshua was his right-hand man. Joshua was his number two. In Exodus chapter 14, verse 13, Moses specifically mentions Joshua as his assistant. And so when the time came to transition from Moses to Joshua, it was a relatively seamless transition, because Moses had been intentionally discipling, working with, and training up Joshua so that when the time came and the Lord called Joshua to lead and to take over, that he was ready. And Joshua was one of the 12 spies that went into the promised land in Numbers chapter 14. Joshua was known as a successful general. He's mentioned by name and given that in Exodus chapter 19. Joshua is known for being courageous and successful. We can look back at the book of Joshua, and we know how the story ends. We know how his journeys take place, but there's a lot to learn from what took place within his book and in his journeys. But it's important to note that although the book is named after Joshua, the book actually isn't really about Joshua. And you may look at me like, what? That makes zero sense. But that's good. I like to confuse you from time to time. The book isn't about Joshua, but the book is actually about how God works through Joshua. You see, the book of Joshua, we're going to see a lot of victories. We're going to see a lot of incredible things take place. But they actually had very little to do with Joshua and what he did. And the reason they took place was because God was able to work through Joshua, through his obedience, through his trust, and through his faith in God, as we sang about earlier. Now, the date for this book is up for debate, because the conquest involved, some of the battles that we see take place are still disputed. But what we do know is that during this time in history, the Egyptians and the Hittites were the military powers, and Israel was still trying to kind of find their way. Israel was just coming out of that captivity in Egypt that we see in Exodus. They were in that period of awaiting, finally entering into the promised land that God had promised them so long ago with Abraham. There's a misconception that the book of Joshua was written as kind of a record of military conquest, and there's a lot of that that takes place within the book of Joshua. But it's important to note, and you'll see as we walk through this together, that any time military strategy is mentioned within this book, two things are made abundantly clear about the military strategy, about the things that are taking place. And the first is that every single time, God was the engineer of the military strategy. Not Joshua, not leadership, but God himself. And the second thing made abundantly clear is that victory was attained by listening to God's instructions, by trusting in him and what he had them to do, and having faith in God. You see, the reason for this book is to remind people, to remind especially the Israelites, but for you and for me looking back on it today, that God kept his covenant promise to Israel, made long ago with Abraham, to bring them into the promised land. It took a lot longer than they expected. It was a much different journey than they expected, but God delivered. God remained faithful, and God kept his promises. In fact, God kept his promises no matter how impossible it seemed. God kept his promises no matter how much they messed it up. And here we are in the book of Joshua, hundreds of years, generations before the birth of that baby in a manger. And the gospel's already on display, because it didn't matter how much the Israelites messed it up, God still remained faithful. Now, you may be asking the question, why are we looking at this book? Why are we doing this study as we round about a new year? Well, as we enter into what's taking place with Joshua, after 40 years of wandering into the wilderness, the people of Israel were ready for some new beginnings. They were ready for that next chapter. And so maybe you're walking into 2023 ready for that next chapter. You know, I've spent 4 months with you guys now, believe it or not. I don't know if that's a scary thing or not. But in those 4 months that I've spent with you guys, and I've talked to most of you, had the opportunity to chat with most of you, maybe it's safe to say that some of you feel that Bellevue's been in the time of wilderness for a little bit. Maybe not 40 years, thankfully, but maybe there's some of that feeling, whether it be past indiscretions of leadership, hurricanes, global pandemics. Maybe, just maybe, we can relate to what Israel is dealing with a bit. Dealing with that time of wandering in the wilderness, wondering when God's finally going to come through with what he's promised, and the opportunity for that to take place. Maybe we can relate just a little bit. You see, Israel in the book of Joshua finally receives the blessing that God had promised them. And the reason that that took place is because they trusted in him and followed his lead. You see, I believe that Bellevue can and will come into that time of promise that God promises his bride, his church. But the reason that we're going to do that isn't because of a new pastor or new leadership or new vision or anything like that, but it will come from a season of trusting in God, doing what he tells us to do, and having faith in him. You know, it's easy to look at a book like this and to say, you know, okay, how much like Joshua am I, right? Joshua's the hero of the book. It's named after him. He's pretty important. How much like Joshua are we? But the fact of the matter is, we really need to, and I really need to remember as we look through this, that when we look at this and we try to place ourselves in the midst of this, we are simply Israel in the midst of all this. We are the unfaithful. We are the ones that keep messing it up over and over and over again. But we are the ones that God has promised deliverance to. And Joshua does not represent a new pastor, does not represent leadership. Joshua represents Christ. Joshua represents the leadership that we should be following, and that is the leadership of Christ. So with all that being said, would you join me in Joshua chapter 1, starting in verse 1. We're going to read the first 9 verses this morning. Scripture says, "After the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord said to Joshua, son of Nun, Moses' assistant, 'Moses, my servant, is dead. Now therefore arise and go over the Jordan to all of his people, into the land that I am giving them to the people of Israel. Every place that the sole of your foot will tread upon, I have given to you, just as I had promised Moses. From the wilderness and to the Lebanon, as far as the great river, the river Euphrates, the land of the Hittites, to the great sea, toward the going down of the sun, shall be your territory. No man shall be able to stand before you all the days of your life. Just as I was with Moses, I will also be with you. and I will not leave you or forsake you. Be strong and courageous, for you shall cause this people to inherit the land that I swore to their fathers to give them. Only be strong and courageous, being careful to do according to the law of Moses, my servant commanded you. Do not turn from it to the right or to the left, that you may have good success wherever you go. The book of the law shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate on it day and night, so that you may be careful to do according to all that is written. For then you will make your way prosperous, and you will have success. Have I not commanded you, be strong and courageous? Do not be frightened, do not be dismayed, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. We see this is God commanding Joshua, commissioning Joshua into what is about to take place. And this wasn't a surprise. Joshua knew that when Moses' time of leadership and of life came to an end, Joshua knew that he was next in line. This wasn't a luck of the draw or anything. This was an intentional discipleship. This was an intentional training from Moses to Joshua. And the time has come for that transition. And when we hear the name of Moses, we know that Moses was a biblical hero, right? Moses is one of the people that we look at. He's in the hall of faith in the book of Hebrews. He's an important person. And now his time had come and gone, and it is time for a new page, a new chapter. And so maybe Israel's wondering what's next. But Moses was not to be forgotten. Moses was not forgotten. Over the course of the book of Joshua, Moses' name is mentioned 57 times within the book of Joshua, referring to his leadership and his faithfulness to God. So this wasn't Israel forgetting Moses. This wasn't Israel saying, okay, Moses is done and gone. Now we need to focus on what Joshua wants us to do. That was not the case. There was still respect for what he did, but it was a time of clear transition and leadership and what was occurring. And again, as we look and we consider ourselves to be Israel in this story, how similar can we be oftentimes, especially in churches? When we do things differently, a lot of times we assume that it's not respecting the ways of old, right? Just as if Joshua were to do something differently than Moses, are we disrespecting Moses? Well, not necessarily. But rather moving forward towards what is ahead. And again, we've talked about Joshua served as Moses' assistant. God had specifically prepared Joshua for the tasks ahead. And similarly to us, God has called his church, and I'm talking about the universal church, everybody that follows Jesus and is a believer, God has called his people to a great task, the divine mission that we've talked about over and over and over again, and he has prepared them for it. He has prepared us for it. And more so than that, God has prepared and called this church corporately, individually, Bellevue, he has called this church to a great task as well, the task of representing him in Westlake and sharing his word and his name and his saving grace and his salvation in Westlake, and he has prepared us to do so as well. We have to take the mantle. We have to take it up, and we have to carry out that mission. It will become evidently clear to Israel that Moses and Joshua do things differently. They have different ideas, different strategies, different ways of doing things. They had different leadership styles, some might say, but they had common ground, and their common ground was serving the Lord their God. You see, churches can look different through the years. Maybe you've experienced that where you look back and you say, man, things are a lot different than they were 20, 30, 40, 50, however many years ago. And it's okay to have someone come in and lead in a different way than you might be accustomed to. I'm not saying it's easy, but it is okay. The process and the avenues may look different from time to time. And it's okay for that to be the case, but the drive and the goal is the same, to worship and to serve the Lord our God. You see, this is where it can get dicey, because the music can sound different, and that can be okay. The evangelism and the discipleship and the way that we do outreach can look different, and that's okay. And even the feel of the church as a whole can be different. And it doesn't mean that it's bad, or it doesn't mean that we're misrepresenting the ways of old, just as Joshua was never misrepresenting or having them forget about Moses. But the goal and the drive is to know Christ and to make him known. And if that's the goal and that's the drive, then any leadership that leads in that direction is being a good leader. And the question we have to ask ourselves, is that the kind of leadership we want to submit ourselves to? not the comfortable leadership, where people say, oh, this is what everybody wants to do, we'll do it that way so we don't ruffle any feathers. But if the leadership is submitting to what God wants when it comes to our gathering of believers, that is what we should be doing. And we see that Israel is going to take note and say, you know, God has specifically commissioned Joshua to be here in this moment to lead. And we know, because we know Joshua, that he is a man that loves God and that serves God and that he wants to do what God has called him to do. So we're going to follow that. And again, we are Israel in this situation. The new pastor is not Joshua. The church leadership is not Joshua. Jesus Christ is Joshua. And we are simply to follow what he has for us. We see in those first couple verses the encouragement of the commission. We see that God says, all right, the time is now. You know that this was coming. Moses is no longer here. Joshua is among us. It is your time. And there was encouragement in that. In verses 3 through 6, God gives encouragement from the promises that he has already made to encourage Joshua to continue forward. You see, Joshua served as a trustee for the land that God had promised his people. Joshua was the trustee that was going to finally deliver the promise that God had made to Abraham so long ago, the promise of the promised land that they were given. And again, keeping in mind that Joshua represents Jesus in this midst, in the same way, Jesus serves as our trustee with our salvation before God, because we're not there yet, right? We haven't entered into that land of promise that you and I have been promised yet. We're not quite there. There's still work to be done. But we know without a shadow of a doubt that Jesus is the one that holds that for us, and that when the time comes and it's within God's will and God's plan, he will deliver on that promise. If he did it with Israel so many years ago, delivering them from their physical captivity from Egypt to get into the land of promise, then surely he will deliver us from our spiritual captivity of sin into the land of promise that we have been promised. The victory is promised in verses 4 and 5. There is a promise, and the promise is victory is assured. And it's not victory is assured because Joshua is now leading. It's victory is assured because Joshua is called and equipped by God. Victory is assured not because of new leadership, not because of new ideas or new ways, but because God is in control. And he doubles down in verse 5, and he says, I will be with you. Israel was not guaranteed victory because Joshua was a great leader. Israel was not guaranteed victory because they were a great nation that did a lot of right things. Israel was guaranteed because God is a great God. Israel was guaranteed victory because the God that they serve was the God that is in charge of armies, the God that created all things. And similarly, a local church doesn't thrive due to a new pastor or new programming or even its incredible people, but it thrives because it serves a great and mighty God. See, God makes a promise to Joshua, three different promises to Joshua. The first in verses 3 and 4, that Israel would enter the land that was promised to them. He promised Joshua, the time has come, and when it's all said and done, Israel will enter into that land. Verse 5, he promises that victory over their enemies will happen. And then in verse 6, going on a little bit more, the land would be divided as inheritance for the conquering tribes as God had promised so long ago to Abraham. He mentions very specific promises. This will take place, this will take place, and this will take place. But it's noteworthy what is not said when God makes these promises. God doesn't provide details about how or when or what day or what's going to happen for these to take place. He doesn't give them a date when they enter the promised land. He doesn't tell them what victories they will be facing and how they will have victory over their enemies. He doesn't even tell them how the land's divided. God doesn't provide details on how these promises are going to be fulfilled, but he simply says, here are my promises to you. Now go and do what I ask. And if we look in the New Testament, there's a lot of promises that Jesus makes that were not immediately fulfilled, and that we're not given extreme details to, like the time and the place that he would return, like some of the very different things that theologians and people debate on for years and years and years. We were not given those details, but he said, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, and I will be with you always. Very similar to what God says to Joshua right here. See, God was commissioning Joshua to what was to come, just as Jesus has commissioned us to what is to come. And just as God remained faithful to his promises to Israel and to Joshua, we can take heart and we can be encouraged with the fact that that same God is the same God that we serve today. And if he is going to remain faithful to Israel and to Joshua, even in the midst of their brokenness and their mess ups and everything that they've done wrong, maybe we can find some encouragement in that this morning. Maybe we can find some encouragement in that as we head into a new year. Maybe we can find some encouragement in that as we head into maybe a new season of what God wants to do here in Westlake and at Bellevue. But there were conditions. If you look in verses 7 and 8, God gives some conditions. Hey, here's what's ahead, but there is a part that you have to play in this to be strong and courageous. Required a boldness in God. And we're going to see that played out over the course of the book of Joshua, that there was a boldness in God that was needed to take place, a courage that only God could deliver, because they were going to face some daunting tasks. They were going to face some enemies that were very scary. They were going to face some unknown and some uncomfortable situations that maybe they weren't prepared for. But God said to be strong and courageous, to be bold in who God is and that he can deliver, to have courage because they know that the God that they serve would be the one to deliver them from their enemies. It was no incredible game plan or strategy that Joshua was going to put forth, but the fact that they served the God of Israel, the God that led them out of captivity, that is the reason they are going to continue through. And the second condition was to observe the law. You see, a commitment to God's word is needed as well. God commands them to remain in the law of Moses that was given for a purpose. Can the same be said about you and me today? Are we committed to the word of God as we venture into this next step of 2023, of whatever's next at Bellevue? Maybe we can say that we're strong and courageous, that we have boldness in God, that we believe God can deliver us. But are we committed to God's word? Are we committed to the word of God, the truth of God's word? Because we've talked about it before. Culture and society and its idea of truth is very different today than it was back then. And your truth can be different than my truth, but both can still be true. There's all kinds of weird, crazy teachings out there. But are we people committed to God's truth and God's word? Because that was one of the conditions to continue through, not only to be strong and courageous, but to know God's word, to know what it says, so that when the time comes, we know that we're remaining faithful to what he's asking us to do. A commitment to God's word guarantees the success of Christian believers. And it's to note that it's not meaning that life isn't going to have problems. God never said, hey, Israel, let's jump on this ship and it's going to be real easy and nothing's going to come against you and you're not going to have to worry about it. We're just going to walk right into the promised land, doors wide open, and everyone's going to be hugging you and so excited that you're here. He doesn't say that. That would make for a really boring book, actually, too. But he says that if you observe my commands, if you are strong and courageous, you will receive the benefit of what is to take place. The fact of the matter is they're able to deal with what's going to come against them because they were committed to God's word and because they were strong and courageous. You see, it's mentioned there, and then Joshua 1:9 is one of those verses that people quote and know. They put them up in their houses, they have on their t-shirts and all of that. But if you look, it's actually just a repeat of what takes place in verses 5 and 6. To be strong and courageous. But you see, Joshua knew that his success was not dependent on himself. Yes, he had trained for years. He had been mentored for years. He knew that there was going to be a time where God was going to tell him that it was his time to step up to the plate. But Joshua knew that his success wasn't dependent on his ability. His success was dependent on remaining faithful to God and what God wanted him to do. And for you and for me today, as we look at what's ahead, as we look for what's to come, it's important for us to realize, too, that Bellevue's success is not dependent on your ability. And that can be a tough pill to swallow sometimes. Bellevue's success is not dependent on my ability, and thank God for that. But Bellevue's success is dependent on God's ability. And that should be the greatest source of comfort for you, because no matter what we've been through, no matter what the church has gone through or dealt with and all of that, if we're depending on ourselves or a new preacher or leadership to be the thing that fixes whatever it is that we feel is broken. That's not going to get us where we need to go. The greatest success is dependence on God's ability, because it's not any one of us that can change the hearts of people. It's not any one of us that can forgive the sins of anybody. It's not any one of us that can bring someone from darkness to light. It is only God that can do that. It is only the saving grace, the good news of the gospel that can do that. And so if we really want to look and say, what needs to take place for Bellevue to be successful in 2023? Whatever God wants. That's what we need to stick with. Not whatever any committee wants, not whatever a new preacher wants, but what does God want? And if we do that, maybe, just maybe, we'll see success defined as God defines success take place. I hope you realize this as we just look at the beginning of this, that we're not so different than Israel at this point in time. We like to look back at the Old Testament and dog on Israel a bit for how often they mess it up and they don't get it right. And it's right there in front of you. You should have seen it. But that's you and me. We like to put ourselves in the hero positions of the Bible. We like to say we're the Moses in the story or we're the Joshua in the story, but that's not true at all. We're lowly, messed up, sinful Israel in the story. But thankfully, God loved us so much that he sent a leader, a mediator, in order to show us the way. And it isn't a new pastor or a committee member or anything like that. It is the Son of God himself. We just spent last week spending time appreciating and praising that baby born in a manger. That is the leader of God's church. And as we head into 2023, as we head into a new season, hopefully we can look at what takes place as Israel is going into this new season, as Israel is dealing with the unknown and the uncertainty of what's to come. They know what God has promised them. They know what the end goal is. They know what they want to see. But how to get there is the harder part, because that's the part that's unknown. That's the part that requires trust. That's the part that requires faith. And if we're going to place our faith and our trust and what we view as the future to anybody, thank the Lord that it's the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, and not just somebody that stands up and makes a fool of himself every Sunday morning, or not somebody that goes to a bunch of committee meetings and leads the church well. But those people will ultimately fail us. You've seen it before. People that are leading are still sinful, messed up, and broken people. But people that drive the leadership and the efforts towards the one who should be leading, that being Christ, that is when true success can be found. So as we look at this morning, and this is just the introduction to this, this is God commissioning Joshua, hey, this is what's to come. As we gather this morning and we say, God, we want to submit to what you have for us, not only this year, but what you have for us as a church, what you have for us as families, as individuals. Joshua's response to this commission was, God, use me. I will do whatever it is that you want. And we have a response as well. And so as we kind of wrap up this morning and we look at what's to come, the whole book of Joshua serves as a reminder that God keeps his promises. And so I want us to remember first and foremost that as we look at that, that's the theme of what we're going to be looking at over however many weeks and months that we're here, is that God keeps his promises. And God has made some incredible promises to his church and to his bride and to his people. And ultimately, the biggest promise of that being delivered from our spiritual captivity of sin into the promised land, that being heaven, where there is no more sin or pain or death. God keeps his promises. And all of his promises were made right here in his word. That's why it's important to be committed to his word, because if you want to know what the promises of God is that he has promised us, it's right here in his word. And if you're committed to his word, you know what promises I'm talking about. You know the promises that God has for his people. And so it's a constant reminder that that is the case, and that should be a source of encouragement and excitement for you and me as we not only head into a new year, but as we just move forward in our walk with the Lord. Another point of application is maybe, just maybe, Bellevue can relate to the people of Israel a little bit. Again, we talked about Israel just spent 40 years wandering in the wilderness, not really sure what was going to happen next, not really sure what was going to take place next. And I've spent enough time with a lot of you to know that that's been the feeling around here before, and that's okay. but we need to follow God's lead. Church success isn't determined by dynamic leadership. It's not determined by numerical value, but what it is determined by is its ability to love God and love people. And so when we look back at 2023 and we say, you know, were we successful as a church in 2023? If we're able to look back and say that we loved God, we loved people, we proclaimed his name, then it doesn't matter how we got there. It doesn't matter the avenues that we took, even if they look a little different, even if things were done in a way. It's not forgetting the ways of old or discrediting the ways of old, but it's looking towards what is to come. Maybe, just maybe, we can look back and say we succeeded as the Lord says that we succeeded. Joshua was instructed to be strong and courageous, to observe the law. It's the same instructions that we have today. As we go forth, as we leave this place and we head into a lost and broken world, we're to be strong and courageous. We are to observe the law. We are to take the law and to adhere to it. But it's not because it's a law that's going to get us into heaven, but it's because it's the law that our Heavenly Father has put in front of us. It is not we're doing enough good things to be good enough to get into heaven. It's doing good things because we serve a God who loves us and who has asked us to do those things to represent him. So as we leave here this morning, just as Joshua was instructed to be strong and courageous, to observe the law, to be commissioned to go forth for what God has for him, may we do the same. May we be strong and courageous as we enter into a lost and broken world, knowing that the good news that we have is nothing of our own. It is no news, it is no plan, it is no idea of our own, but it is the good news and the grace of the gospel, the good news of Jesus, that has the power to save, that has the power to change. And if that is our goal, if that is our mission, then no matter what giants, no matter what armies, no matter what enemies we face as we head into 2023, we can handle them because we know that God is in control. May the same be said of us today. May we be commissioned the same way that Joshua is commissioned. And I hope you're looking forward to the study of this book as we do this journey together over the next few weeks and months as we look at how God kept his promises, how God delivered, and may we remember that he will do the same for you and for me. Let's pray this morning. Heavenly Father, we thank you for the opportunity to gather in your house. We thank you for the feeling of new beginnings, for a new year. We know that there's a lot of hope and a lot of promise in front of us, and we have a whole year, and we know how much can change in a year. We know what can happen in a year, but God, may we be committed to you being our leader for the year. Israel was committed to Joshua's new leadership, but the ultimate leader they were following was you, and may we do the same. There's never going to be a new pastor that comes in, or there's never going to be a perfect leadership team that's able to do what following you and your lead is able to do. So may we make that the focus as we are commissioned to go into a lost, into a dying and broken world, to be strong and courageous, to take the good news of Jesus into that lost and dying world, to be committed to your word, the truth of your word. And just as you commissioned Joshua and Israel to represent you to the world, may we be commissioned to represent you to everyone around us. We love you and we praise you, and it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.